tackling? What were y'all tackling about?
I forgot Adrian has it all badass in here, and I was going to go old school and put the timer on my phone. And I'm like, wait a minute. Adrian's got all this shit set up for us. Get off your phone,
okay,
woman.
Sorry, I was sending an email.
So you look extra cute today. What's going on?
Thank you. It's just rainy and gloomy outside. Actually, I had this other outfit that I was going to wear, and it's basically like a raincoat onesie. Like, it's like windbreaker material, but you've really been like ripping on my outfits.
I don't ever rip on your outfit.
You kind of got me with my Theo when you called out my shirt for being like Theo. So I was like, I can't do that back-to-back episodes. I gotta chill it out.
We got to give it up to Aztec Chevrolet for always taking care of us.
Yes.
From Aztec and Beeville Chevrolet to Uvalde Chevrolet and Uvalde to Aztec Ford, our friends over there in Goliad. Old Salt Coffee, just had some this morning. Love them. Trevino 10 is the code.
Yes.
And of course, Raul Western Wear. People keep asking, what is that shirt you're wearing on the Netflix special?
Yeah.
Raul Western Wear. Get it.
Oh,
love it.
You know what? Actually, we didn't talk about this. Cordero McMurray, the host from San Antonio Morning Shows, I got a text from him this morning. He said, I'm wearing the Guayavera that you guys gave me. He goes, because I'm doing a segment on Guayaveras.
Well, and he better blow us up.
Yeah, he said it looked good. He was excited to be wearing his shirt this morning.
And our friends at Rebecca Creek, my favorite whiskey at the moment. I got to tell you, my first time in Wyoming.
Oh, this weekend.
Have you, Adrian, have you ever been to Wyoming?
I never have.
Holy shitballs.
Okay, what cities? I thought you were in Denver this weekend.
Well, we did Pueblo on Friday.
Okay.
Pueblo on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And it went amazingly well.
Yeah.
Love me some Pueblo. And then we went afterwards. We were like, hey, let's have a drink.
Uh-huh. Right?
So we literally went to a bar across from the theater, and everybody from the theater was there. So I ended up doing a bar meet and greet.
I was going to say, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Ended up doing a bar meet and greet with everybody, which was really, really cool because I don't normally do that.
Yeah.
You know, normally I'll go to a casino, I'll play craps, I'll hang out at the I'll hang out at the venue. Uh-huh. I don't go out anymore. But we were like, oh, let's have a drink, you know, and we walk in and I mean, everybody was, and
did you end up riding home with strangers this time?
No, not
because that's what's so funny is the last time we told that story about you like getting it because you couldn't get an Uber and you got to ride home with the strangers. Crystal and
fans,
I
they
like,
were fans.
Well, from your show, yes, but
now they're friends.
They've become friends. Yeah. We like see them out. We like message each other back and forth. Very, very sweet.
But you know, I got there and it was like, can I have a picture? Can I have a picture? And I'm like, oh man, I wasn't expecting to do a full meet and greet, you know. But it was great, and everybody
the bar was cool. Howard, the bar
was great, and everybody was so nice, and it was so funny because I walk in and you know there's the bar's here, people taking pictures are sitting there at the bar.
Uh-huh.
I go to the corner to try to order a drink. We start taking pictures, and then somebody goes, I think it's Bert Kreischer. And
did you take your shirt off? And you're like, no,
then,
not Bert.
And then one of my fans goes, he's funnier. Bert Kreischer never got the number 2 on Netflix. Like they like totally defended me. And I was like, oh, awesome. But that was great.
Yeah.
And then we woke up in the morning, and then the routing was all kind of screwy. But
it's been pretty good lately.
It was great. Yeah. But we had to drive back through Denver to go to Cheyenne. I had no idea this phenomenon in Wyoming, which is super crazy high winds.
Oh.
I had no, did you know about this?
Is it kind of like tornadoes in Oklahoma? Like, you know,
it's just part of it. I mean,
blowing through there.
Dude, I'm talking about every 5 miles, a big rig on its side.
That's so scary.
I'm talking like RVs, people towing RVs. They were on their side. 18-wheelers on their side.
Oh, my gosh.
Trailers on their side. I mean, it was insane. I mean, I'm holding the wheel like this, and I'm going straight. And they said it was up to 100-mile-an-hour winds.
That's a hurricane in
It was crazy. At one point, we're driving. There's a rig flipped over on the other side, and people are breaking the windshield to help get the guy out of there.
Dang.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this must have been
Like a crazy storm.
Just a crazy deal. Uh-huh. And they go, oh no, all the time.
So you just stay off the road.
They have, you know, we were wondering why they had barricades. They'll close down that highway, that stretch of highway. They will literally just go, you can't go.
Oh, is it something about the way the wind funnels
goes through the mountains or whatever? But holy moly, was it crazy.
Why is it so windy in Wyoming? The Rocky Mountains to the west and across western Wyoming act as a barrier that blocks the movement of moist air from the Pacific Ocean, resulting in a semi-arid climate. As a result, the region experiences strong prevailing winds that typically blow from west to east. So it's the geography.
Yeah. I mean, it was like I've never driven in wind like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, normally you get a warning here in Texas like, hey, don't leave.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
High wind, extreme,
you know.
We get warnings on our phones for like extreme wind extreme rain.
Unbelievable. Oh, and then we're like, Timmy goes, oh, I just saw a sign for Buc-ee's. We should go to the Buc-ee's. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the best truck stops, right? Renee, the insanity at this Buc-ee's.
Because people like decided if I'm going to hunker down somewhere, it's
no,
going to be
No, it
a
had
Buc-ee's
only been open
shop.
2 weeks.
Oh, so they don't know the magic.
We just bailed because it was literally people waiting in line like they're going into an amusement park.
Yeah.
Every parking spot full. Every inch of that parking lot full. And we were like, F this. Like,
in peak travel times, you'll pull up to a Buc-ee's and you can't get a gas pump. And these places are known for having like more gas pumps than
anybody.
Any other station, like 40 gas pumps.
It was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So we're like, screw this. We leave that one. And then there's this poor, lonesome gas station.
With dirty bathrooms.
That you know
no
they were
cream.
Like, well, there goes our business. Like, I mean, so we pulled into that one, did our thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were so... So pleasantly surprised with the turnout in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Pleasantly surprised. I don't want to name comedians.
Okay.
But there are two huge comedians that do arenas.
Uh-huh.
And Joe told me that we sold more tickets our first time there than they did.
You're coming up, Steve Trevino.
So it was a great show, great people. But I was in the hotel.
What do you do in Wyoming?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing to do.
Watch the wind.
Yeah. I watched Dexter.
I know we were watching it together.
No, you bailed
yes,
on
we
me.
Were. No, I was watching it with you and then you're like, okay, I'm done with season one.
But you know, and Adrian's a husband. Husbands and wives, you gotta be both in. You gotta be both in. And I had been telling her, Adrian, we gotta get into Dexter.
I watched the pilot episode with you.
No, you passed out.
Did I?
Yes.
I finished the first episode.
So I had already seen the first episode, and then I went to Renee, and I'm like, hey, let's do this together. Like, it's a great show. I think you'll love it.
You bailed on me.
Well, no, halfway through, she passed out, and I'm like, I'm not going to go through having to beg you to watch this with me. And then another thing that drives me crazy.
Do it on a show that doesn't have, like, how many freaking seasons does Dexter have?
Here's
Can
what else
do
is
it
crazy.
On a show that only has, like, two seasons?
Well, here's what
now
else
I'm
is crazy.
Now I'm never going to catch up.
Let me tell you what else freaking pisses me off. I'm like, hey, let's get into this. Now, when I get into something, I put my phone down and I watch because I'm into it. Renee's like this.
I don't know if I believe that.
And I'm like, Adrian, where you have to go, hey babe, what, you're missing stuff. I mean, Dexter, you're missing stuff.
But I'm not just randomly scrolling. I'm editing a video or ordering groceries or making sure I have the kids' calendar correct.
So you know what happens? Now we're in episode two and I have to hear, who's that? And what happened there? And go back. I don't know who that is.
But there's groceries in your fridge, Steve Trevino.
So I bailed and I was like, screw it. I'm in Wyoming. There's nothing to do. My hotel room would shake with the wind. I could feel the building moving.
That's scary.
It was scary.
Why don't you say, like, put me on the first floor, please?
So I can get squashed?
No. You can get out easy.
No, you get on the top floor because then the top floor becomes the first floor.
I don't know if it works that way.
But anyway, I was just over, like, I was, you know, I feel like, and I talked to Jake, and Jake was like, oh, yeah, they're known for the most overturned vehicles because of that
wind. That's scary.
And I was like, what? You know about this? I don't know about this.
I don't know.
But then it was back to Denver.
How was Denver this ground? You didn't complain about, you usually like always get altitude sickness and you didn't.
I think I got lucky because I kind of acclimated in the other cities.
Oh, maybe because like the elevation was gradual as it opposed was, to like flying
yeah,
in.
Yeah, going in and then all driving? Of a sudden being there. Huh. So I was good. I didn't have any altitude issues.
Yeah.
I did get an IV day one.
Well, maybe you weren't long enough till they're like long enough to get dehydrated.
I did have the bloody boogers.
Ooh.
You know, when they crust up on you. Vegas does that to me too, where you're just like,
yeah,
they're sharp and hard and
yeah,
the worst. But Denver was an awesome show. And then my dumb ass, because I just want to get home to my wife and kids. So I'm looking at my flight and I'm like, why am I leaving at 5 p.m.? I change it. So then all of a sudden, I'm looking at my phone and I'm like, did it just get changed back?
Yeah.
So then Tatiana calls and she's like, dummy, you can't leave at 5 a.m. I'm like, why not? She says, you have the Daily Buzz interview at noon.
Yeah.
Live in studio in Denver. I'm like, oh, do I have to? And she's like, yes, you have to. It's like nationwide.
Yeah.
So then the luck of my career.
What happened?
Well, look, I have had the best managers, and then as soon as I sign with them, they go into rehab. Like, shit like that has happened in my career.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, my God, I just got this huge manager. My career's going to be great. Oh, he went into rehab. Oh, awesome. Like, things like that always happen to me. So, you know, oh, my first year headlining, Jimmy Fallon decides he wants to do stand-up to prepare for the Tonight Show. What weeks do they give him? All of mine.
Yeah. They like, literally took yours away and slotted in Jimmy Fallon.
They were like, oh, we'll just bump this idiot and give you all these weeks.
The idiot who needed those weeks to pay his bills.
To survive.
Yeah.
We did make it. We did survive. But Jimmy Fallon, you owe me one.
I'm sure Jimmy Fallon watches our podcast with commercial breaks.
I'm kind of looking up this Daily Buzz thing. I'm like, oh my God, they're in 200 markets. Like, it is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And they have
a lot of Daily Buzz.
But what's happening right during my segment yesterday?
Oh damn! I didn't even think about it.
Nobody's inside watching Daily Buzz.
No one's inside watching the Daily Buzz.
They're all outside watching the eclipse.
As a matter,
I'm killing it, being my talented self.
Oh well, then we gotta share the clip. We gotta share the clip. But with on the Daily Buzz.
Like it was so bad.
Media, or like tack it on to the podcast. This clip.
It so was so bad when they walked me in the studio. Zero people were in there.
Yeah,
because they were outside
on location.
They were outside with their glasses. And they're like, hey, you have Steve Trevino. Oh, shit. Okay. And then we had to go back in. So just my luck. I'm on the Daily Buzz.
Oh, I didn't
right in the middle
think
of the
about
eclipse.
That. And you know what they were talking about on the news this morning? They were talking about like how yesterday they were like all the news outlets. They took a break from the polarizing politics and the whole world was just looking up at the sky talking about the eclipse. Not Steve Trevino on the Buzz.
I just... And then
I'm sorry, I laugh because at this point it's comical. Like, especially because I know how badly you just wanted to be home, but you were like, no, I should stay and do this interview. Maybe
hey, having it, and God's like, let me give you an eclipse on the day you get national television.
Oh, baby, I'm sorry.
No, it's a story of my career. We'll just keep fighting.
Yeah.
We'll just keep going.
You have to have a sense of humor about it.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I was like, really? Okay. I mean, 10 years ago, I would have been like, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, this is happening to me. You know, now I'm just like, oh, well, whatever. Like, let's just keep.
You are. Now you just make the best of it.
Let's just keep going. You know, and I had a great segment on the Daily Buzz. Nobody saw it.
We're going to share it. Adrian, we're going to share it. You know what? We'll share it everywhere, on every platform.
But it was just one of those things. I'm just like, really? And then haul ass to the airport. To get home.
Yes.
And then Garrett, poor Garrett.
Oh, the kids, you know what? You were gone. This was a longer stretch of you being gone and we all felt it. And both the kids, Delilah articulates it now, you know, when
but
she.
It's tough too, because I was home for a long time. So they're not
were you?
Used
oh,
to
cause
being.
Oh, because Easter, because
they're
Easter
not
holiday.
Used to me being on the road. And I had literally been with them for a like 6 weeks straight.
Yeah, but in kid brain, they don't realize that.
But that's why they miss me, because it was like dad was here all the time.
Yeah.
And then now he's gone, and I missed you guys so much too. And you know, people ask me all the time, do you love traveling? I'm like, no, I love being on stage.
Yeah.
Right? It's the traveling that I hate. It's the worst part of my job, but it did feel longer.
Yeah.
And then the worst part is when you're like Garrett, it was so shitty because I didn't know what was happening. Garrett got hit with a foul ball.
I didn't know what was happening either because I was not there. I was home with Delilah. And
our friends had taken him to practice.
Yeah.
And then I land and all of a sudden all these text messages come in and it's like, I hope Garrett's okay. Is Garrett okay? How's his face? I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I called Renee right away. She's like, oh, he's okay, but he did take a foul ball to the face. And that's the scary part
by the friend that is like a powerful hitter. So that's what's scary too, is when you read those text messages and I'm sure it said, you know, he got hit by a tipped foul ball from this kiddo. You're probably like, oh shit.
Well, that was my response. Yeah. It's like, oh shit, what's happening? And that's the other scary thing about traveling is that when stuff like that happens and you're on the road, you're like, oh my God, like.
It's been a while, Steve. You knock on wood, Mr. Trevino, because it has been a while since something like that happened. I think last time I was in the emergency room with a sick Delilah when she was little.
Little. And then the biggest one is when I actually left the shows when we had our miscarriage.
Yeah.
And I just felt so helpless. And I immediately bought the very first flight I could get to get home. And you just feel so helpless. And you go, man, I'm on the road. I got to get home. And, you know, but it was Garrett, I show up and Garrett's got, you know, it's just a red mark in his cheeks kind of. And, you know, I'm like, oh, well, congratulations. You finally got a black eye, you little wimp, you know.
Oh, not even a black eye. I got him right here on the cheekbone.
Right on the, no black eye. But it did get him pretty good.
Yeah.
But it was a good weekend. I had fun. Johnny Sanchez is just, he's so funny.
Yeah. No.
Every time I hang out with him, he's got a new phobia.
Oh, really?
I'm claustrophobic. And, you know, when he was on the tour bus, he wouldn't sleep in the bunk. He refused. He's like, I can't. It's too claustrophobic. So he slept on the sofa in the living room part of the.
Yeah.
And then he's like, before the shows, he's got to pace.
Oh, my God. That video you showed of him in your stories pacing down the hallway was so funny because Johnny walks like that. I'm surprised he doesn't have calves like you pacing the way he does.
He wants to be at the venue an hour early because he's like, Steve, I got to pace. And then he gets his little Chardonnay.
That's why I like Johnny, because there's always a good, it's Pinot Grigio, actually.
Oh, Pinot Grigio? Yes.
There's always a good bottle of Pinot Grigio.
What is it called? It's called Kim Crawford, but I just call it Cindy Crawford. I'm like, oh, he's got a Cindy Crawford.
Oh, no, then, Sauvignon Blanc. That's what it is.
And then he pours it in his little red Solo cup, and then he just paces. And he's like, Steve, is that not, like, you don't need to pace? I'm like, no. And then I'm eating. He's like, I'll eat after. I can't eat before. I can't eat before. And then we're on the road, and then he goes, so same thing Solana has. I had a bottle of water, and it was the crinkly.
The sound of a like empty water bottle crinkling.
He goes, oh, I have whatever phobia. He goes, people smacking their lips, people slurping. He's like, I have something with sounds. Sounds. I forget what phobia that's called. He's like, I'm like, how many freaking phobias do you have? You have to pace. You can't eat before your show. You're claustrophobic.
Oh, but he's like the sweetest.
Oh, I love him.
Such a sweet human.
But he's like, I have to have an aisle. I can't be in the window. I'll have a panic attack on the plane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't have any of those phobias.
Yeah.
What's it called?
But
misophobia.
He told me that. Yeah, misophobia.
Strong emotional reactions to sounds that most people do not notice, such as chewing or breathing.
Yeah.
My wife has that.
Does she? She don't like the way you breathe? Don't breathe like that. Like, well, sorry, I'm trying to stay alive.
I just ignore half the shit you say, so clearly I don't have that phobia. I just turn it off.
But I'm like, Johnny, how many phobias?
Yeah.
And every night, he's like,
when I see him this weekend, I'm just going to, like, do this with my zipper by his ear and see what he does. I'm going to be like.
Dude, but it's so funny because he's like, I don't know, guy. I don't know. I'm just gonna have one drink. I'm gonna have one drink. I don't know. I just have. And then like 2 bottles later, he'll drink 2 bottles of the Cindy Crawford.
It's and not I'm like, Cindy Crawford. It's Kim Crawford.
I'm like, what happened, dude? I'm having one drink.
Yes.
I've just finished 2 bottles.
Oh, well, we're going to be in Paso Robles this weekend. That's like wine country area, so Johnny's going to do some good stuff.
Saturday in Wyoming, I was like, guys, I got to wake up early to watch Garrett's game.
Yeah, they live stream it.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys go out. You guys do whatever. I'm calling it a night.
Uh-huh.
So I leave, and remember, it's 100-mile-an-hour winds. I called you.
You did. You told me. You were like, dude, my building
Adrian,
is shaking.
It was kicking me off my feet. That's how, like, I had to lean.
You would be walking out, you'd be like, I got to call you back. The wind.
It was crazy. Like, I literally had to lean up against the, I mean, it was insane. The winds were 75 to 100 miles an hour. So then, because Timmy's not drinking right anymore. Timmy's just getting high. Yeah, Timmy's just getting high. So Timmy said, because Johnny's not a big guy.
He's not.
Timmy said, drunk Johnny was trying to close the car door and couldn't do it. He said, I go, you didn't record it?
He was like, Timmy's always going live at the worst possible times. You didn't think to go Facebook Live in that moment?
He goes, Steve, I was literally on the ground. He goes, I couldn't stop laughing. Johnny would try to close it, and then the wind would blow him back, and then he'd try to close it, and then the wind would throw it. He goes, Steve, and he was drunk, so then he would stumble, and he'd fall, and then he'd get back up, and then he'd go at it, and oh, my God. And then so Johnny's all mad. Johnny's like, why gotta, if you're not going to drink, you know, it's better when you drink because you black out, and you don't remember what happened. Now you remember everything, and you're telling Steve everything that happened. Oh, so, but it was a good weekend, and I was glad, you know, to be in a theater in Denver, and it was exciting. I'm excited, you know, this week.
How was the theater in Denver? You've always done the comedy club, and Denver's interesting because Denver has like 2 comedy clubs.
Yeah, they have a south side and a downtown. I was downtown, very bougie hotel.
Yeah,
very, very, very.
I'm bummed I missed it.
Very fancy. Hotel
right up my alley.
Yeah, like oh yeah, it was, I forget what it's called, the Brown something or very very fancy.
Yeah,
really old hotel.
And people giving you snotty looks like you didn't belong there.
Yes, 1,000%. Like I walked up and I got the up and down. I go, I know I look homeless.
Yeah,
but I do belong here.
Yeah.
But very bougie, fancy hotel. And then you know Denver, I didn't do much. That night either because I knew Sunday Garrett had a game.
Yeah.
And I love that game changer. I just wish there was a better way to stream the games because I'm having to text you because they're so small.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's Garrett, right? Like it's, I really wish that's what we need to invent, Adrian, a better way to do like a 3-camera system to stream games.
Oh my gosh, sir. It takes enough to get one parent there setting up the
camera. Oh, by the way,
with a
bro,
fully charged battery.
You want to talk like, about
please
hilarious.
Don't incorporate 2 more cameras.
Hilarious shit show. Jeremy, who's usually there to do it, he's kind of the
cameraman dad.
Every team has a camera guy, game changer dad. Ours is Jeremy. Well, Jeremy wasn't there, so his wife, Amanda, and Renee had to do it. Bro, I need to show it to you. Funniest shit. I can hear you girls talking.
I know, because I'm not used to being by the camera, so then I caught myself a couple times. I was like, oh, shit, everyone can hear me live stream.
And then, like, they don't know how to... we got to get a better tripod, Adrian, for them, because it then fell over. Thank God Renee's skirt was a squirt.
Not a squirt. That sounds gross.
A squirt?
A squirt.
It's a squirt. But at one point, Renee's trying to pick up the camera, and it is in her crotch.
Well, it's a squirt, so I don't squirt in the camera.
But thank God, because I'm thinking, there's 15 people watching. Renee's putting on a show
I
over
didn't
here.
I know that.
Yes. Oops. And then Amanda picks it up, and all you see is nose hair. Like, it's facing her nose hair. And then both of you girls are like, what do we do? Oh, my God, it fell over. And maybe if we put my purse on it. And
that's what we did.
I'll just hold it. Like,
we didn't have sandbags.
Okay, the next day, Jeremy shows up. Uh-huh. Camera didn't fall once.
Well, it wasn't as windy the next day.
There was no net in front of the camera. Like, I could see everything. These girls, complete shit show. How many girls does it take to run the Game Changer camera?
Well, I don't know, because we have a mom who's doing the stats on paper, and then we have another mom who's doing the stats electronically, and then we got another mom who's running the app for the boombox music. So I don't know, Steve Trevino, but don't you add two more cameras to that shit.
And I want to kill the bitch that started the boombox.
Oh, the walk-up music?
You know that years ago, when the Bluetooth speaker came out, some baseball mom was like, my son's going to have intro music. And then all the other teams were like, does that kid have intro music?
Intro music. You're such a comedian. Walk-up music.
Walk-up music. And they'd be like, well, F that. We need walk-up music. And then it started. And now, Adrian, get this.
And now Delilah sings, who let the dogs out?
The cutest thing ever. Adrian, there is a service that you pay for them to edit a full-on batting second. Like, it comes out
I know. I didn't realize now there's an app that, like, you put in your batter lineup and you put their song, and that way it has all their 11 seconds in order, and you just go through your batting lineup. Like,
but you know, one mom did it. One mom was like, I'm going to give my son walk-up music, and ruined everybody's life. It's the same dickhead that found a diamond and gave it to his caveman girl.
Oh, I love that one.
That guy, that fucking dude could have not given it to her. But then all the other dudes were like, where'd you get that? Because his chick was walking around going, look at this diamond rock that shines and glitters that he got me. And the other dudes were like, bro, the fuck did you do
now
that?
Now you have me wondering what the real story is behind, like, the history of the.
So then all the other cave bitches were like, how come cave bitch number one has a diamond and I don't? And that dude's like, well, I don't know where he found it. And she's like, well, go get one.
Are you not a hunter and a gatherer?
Go get my shit. I want a bigger one than that one. And that's where it all went wrong. And all that dude had to do was not bring it home.
I don't think cave women were wearing diamonds on their fingers.
That's how it had to have happened.
I'm curious to know how it started.
Somebody found a diamond, brought it to his chick, and the rest is history. And all he had to do was not bring it to his chick. Because then all the other cave chicks were like, hey, where's mine? Ruined everybody's life. Are you trying to figure out where the...
It started in ancient Rome in 200 BC.
200 BC.
See, some asshole in ancient Rome found a diamond and gave it to his chick.
A Roman.
Well, you know what happened is he got it for himself, right? He found it, so he was like, oh, I'm going to wear this.
And she was like, what's yours is mine, what's mine is mine.
And she was like, hey, how come, no, give that to me. And he's like, why do I got to give it to you? I'm the one that found it. And she's like, well, I like shiny things. So then it ruined everybody's life for good. Right or wrong? I don't know how we ended up there.
I don't know how we ended baseball. Up on diamond.
Oh, baseball. The one.
From one diamond to another.
It's a whole production, dude. It is a whole production. Walk-up music, and they have announcers. And I'm like, why do we need all this flash?
Oh, it's just like energy to keep it fun. They're little. It's just keeping it going.
I am not about the flash.
It's cute. You know what? None of the kids on our team have, like, really flashy or really ghetto songs. Like, they're like, there's a lot of, like, old school epic jock jam songs.
I will say, so Jeremy sets up the camera by the dugout.
Uh-huh.
And you can hear the boys talking. I really enjoy that.
That's cute.
Like, you can hear the boys, like, pumping each other up.
And, yeah.
And having their little conversations. And then, Whatchamacallit, Clay's walk-up music is
TNT.
TNT.
I love it.
So, but all the kids were singing it.
Oh, that's cute. In the dugout.
And then Clay hits a grand slam walk-off to win it.
Yes.
On Sunday. I mean, he could not have hit that ball.
When it went, I thought it was going over. I legit was like looking at it.
I mean, it's in the park home run, but
motion, thinking it was going over that fence.
You got to keep in mind, we're in 13, 14 U fields. If we were in a little league field, 1,000% it's going over the fence. But I mean, it cleared their heads and one hopped the fence and cleared the bases. And I was just so happy. And it was so fun, exciting. They got their little rings. Now they get rings. They take pictures in the mound.
Oh, my dad kept teasing him with it. First, my dad put it on and then pretended like it was stuck on his finger and it wouldn't come off. And then I took the kiddos to Froyo afterwards and Garrett had it on the table and my dad snuck it away. And then Garrett was like, where's my ring? What happened to my ring? Like, he's like, we were sitting outside. He ran into the Froyo place to see if he left it in there. My dad was just teasing him the whole time with his ring.
He's all about it. But I don't know. I don't need the music. I don't need the flash. I don't want my son to have the mullet. Like, I don't need to dye the mullet blue. I don't need fake money chains. I mean, dude, these kids are wearing this stuff. Like, these kids are wearing, like, big clip-on diamond earrings and, you know.
I think they see them doing it in the big leagues. You know, that's where it comes from. Well, that's where it comes from.
Those are professionals. Yeah. They get paid a lot of money.
Right.
And they deserve. I remember seventh grade. One of my football buddies, who were playing football, he ran into the end zone with his finger up. And, oh, my God, did Coach Klein lose his mind.
Yeah.
Coach Klein was like, we are not number one. You are not number one. There's an entire country out there that plays football. And until we beat everybody, you keep your finger down.
Yeah.
And I agreed with him. I agree with that.
I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I also think confidence is also such a killer attribute to have.
Especially in baseball, people don't realize that most games are won or lost in one inning. That is just how baseball is.
Yeah.
Because it's a confidence thing, right? Once they make a mistake and once they let a run in, and you've seen it, you've been around baseball enough that things start to unravel, things start to fall apart that inning, and all of a sudden they've now scored 8 runs when they scored 0 for 3 innings. Yeah, it's a mental game, right? And that's why I work so hard with Garrett on his mental game, right? That's why when I hit the ball to him and he misses it, I go, let's just fix it. Just fix it. You have an opportunity in baseball on the next play to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, it's such a mental game in baseball. I mean, you got guys who are professionals who get in a batting slump because it's confidence.
Yeah.
You know, they strike out once and they go, oh, crap, and then I'm going to try to get it together. They strike out again, and then they just can't.
Recover.
Mentally recover. So I agree with you. I mean, confidence is a huge, and just teaching your kids and in general, just like to not give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and that's what I try to do with Garrett. You know, when he loses, I have a smile on my face.
That's hard too, because Garrett, when he makes a mistake, you really see it. Like in the stands, we are very well aware of how he feels about what happened.
I mean, he's getting better because he'll be like, my bad. But it's more like, my bad. My bad. I'll fix it. You know, instead of like, hey, I got you. Like, but he's doing good. I was so proud of the little baseball team. And you know, we needed that.
Yeah.
We needed that. And you know, it doesn't matter the competition. The boys played well.
Yeah.
They had a great tournament. And I'm pissed because, again, I had made the last 3 tournaments.
Yeah.
And we didn't win a championship. The first weekend I'm gone, not only we win a championship, Ponch and Kiki were there. I would have loved to see Ryo play.
Yeah.
So I'm like, really? Like the one tournament that I don't make,
right.
Ryo's playing. I would have loved to watch him play. Ponch and Kiki, best friends. And then Garrett wins the championship. And I'm like, and I'm not there.
Yeah.
And usually I'm back on Sunday for championship.
Yes.
Sunday. So yeah, I didn't even get to get championship Sunday. But
because you were on the Daily Buzz when no one was watching.
Well, I like that Adrian laughed at that. Thanks for reminding me, guys.
I just feel bad about it. I feel real bad about
just
it.
Just my luck.
I know.
It is how my career has gone. It is.
No, but you know what? The special on Netflix is doing so well, and you're having amazing people come out and see you.
And we're getting such great response. I mean, there's people, you know, sending me messages saying, never heard of you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're hilarious. Or
yes.
Best special out in the past few years. I mean, just getting.
And we're about to hit like the 1 month mark for Simple Man being out. So please, please. I know you guys have shared it and tagged us in it. But please
watch
please,
it again.
Please watch it again. Share it again. So there's what I'm doing from now on now.
This weekend when I get to San Luis Obispo, I'm going to literally tell the audience, pull your cell phones out. If you have Netflix, put it on mute and just play my special while I'm performing.
Yeah. And then go home and watch it again because it's a different show. It's not even the same show.
We got baseball stuff coming in here, folks.
Uh-oh.
Let's see here. Oh, okay.
Not important. But yeah, so Netflix is doing really, really well.
I'm very proud of it. And we're working on this new material and I kind of had a, I don't know, man. I go through these.
Feeling good about it and then not happy with the set?
But same with jujitsu. Like jujitsu, I feel really confident. I'm like, man, I'm really getting good.
Yeah.
And then I go through these lulls of like, oh, God, I suck. I'm not good.
Yeah.
What am I doing? Should I give up? I mean, you know, and that's how I feel about my set right now. Where I'm having moments of like, oh man, I'm really on a great path.
You're in the process.
You know. And then, you know, there's moments of like, golly, I don't want to do that bit or how much time is that? And is it too fat? And are the audience, are they enjoying it? Do they like it? You know?
Yeah.
I walked on stage and I forget what market it was, and I go, you're not gonna hear any of the material you saw on Netflix. And I had like two, sweet, cool. And then I had like eight people. What? I came here for that. I love containers. And I'm like, I'm like, well, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Maybe
and
you give them that at the very end.
I don't
like
know.
Just as
you do the best you can.
I don't know. Yeah, that's hard. That's
you
hard.
Know.
I think, I don't know. I think for the most part, people want to see new stuff, don't they? Like you're paying for a ticket.
I think Adrian does, right? You do.
Yeah, I think once you get into the set, I think they'll forget all about it.
Right.
The new material.
Yeah.
It's but good.
I'm proud of it, but I still feel that kind of, you know, but that's what also makes it exciting. That's what makes it fun.
That's what keeps you on your toes for you, creatively.
That makes me want to go on stage and go, oh, like, go on stage on Friday, go, man, and it's always hard when I have time off.
I didn't think about that. You came
I'm
off
out
some time
of rhythm
off.
Yeah. And forgetting what I'm doing. So then you're there in Pueblo trying to like get
well, especially
it right.
With your process, because you don't write it down.
No.
So that's the thing. Even if you asked me, like, Renee, help me, what was this bit or how did I say this bit? I couldn't tell you because there's no
but Adrian,
transcript.
I need one more bit to add to that set. So I need her to do something. Like, do something I can write about.
I don't know.
I was thinking the other day.
Uh-oh, what did I do?
Because I thought it was really funny. Renee never thinks of me, right? Renee.
That's not true. Renee,
like my mom, for example. Like just for example.
You want me to be your mom?
No. My mom and my brother-in-law. My favorite candy is Reese's peanut butter cups. So when my brother-in-law comes to the house, he's like, Steve, I'm so appreciative of you. Here's a Reese's peanut butter cup. Thinking of you.
We've talked about this. I don't want to make you fat or give
I'm
you diabetes.
I'm getting to the bit. My mom, Reese's peanut butter cups. Or she knows I like those little pecan treats that she makes. The little cupcake.
The muffins.
The little muffins she makes. She knows I like them. She brings them. Renee is never like, hey, I know you like this here, ever. So I leave the office last Tuesday, and I'm like, you know, Chewy's had just opened up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to Chewy's, right?
I know where you're going
I'm
with
gonna eat
this
lunch.
Now. It just clicked.
So I call Renee, and I'm like, hey, just to let you know, I'm going to go eat lunch. Well, I got you a sandwich. I go, what? She goes, you don't want to come home? You're not going to come eat the sandwich? And I was like, well, I'm in the parking lot at Chewy's and I'm kind of craving Chewy's. So then she got all mean to me. She got grumpy. And I was like, oh, she got grumpy because she finally thought of me and I turned down her thought of me. Is that funny?
So now I won't think of you anymore. I'm glad we solved that problem.
We'll go back to not thinking about me, and I can worry about me, and you can worry about you. But
I was really grumpy about it, like abnormally irritated by it.
Oh, she was so irritated. And I'm like, dude, why are you being mean to me right now? She's like, watch, I got you a sandwich. You don't want to come home and get the sandwich? And I go, I'm a grown man. I made a decision that I want to eat at Chewy's. Well, I got you a sandwich. I'm like, shit. So maybe there's a bit there. I just got to figure out.
Yeah.
Renee's so mad about it right now. Why are you mad about it?
I know. I'm certain there's a bit there. I just don't know what it is. Let me talk to my therapist and figure out why I was so irritated, and then I'll get back to you.
You were irritated because you thought of me and I turned down your thought of me.
Maybe.
I'm your therapist.
You are.
I'm your therapist.
That's why sometimes this is not very healthy.
You were irritated because you were like, you know what? I never think of Steve. And I'm gonna get him a sandwich. That way when he gets home, he has something delicious to eat.
Yeah.
And then when I called and was like, I would like to do something different, the fucking wheels came off.
They didn't come off.
Right.
Anyway, I hosted the CASA event.
Oh, tell us about that.
On Friday, I hosted CASA, court-appointed special advocates. And the only reason I want to share is if I can highlight or bring any attention to the cause, what those people do is really amazing. And you can volunteer. You don't have to have money to donate. This is one of those
things. Did you buy a lasagna for $400?
Well, no. So Gennaro's, that's my favorite Italian restaurant in town. And they were like, listen, the eclipse is Monday. Nobody's going to want to leave the house. You're all going to be hanging out with a bunch of pizzas. So we're auctioning off lasagna. The lasagna got up to $600. I almost walked away with a $600 lasagna.
We lost.
For 20 people. We lost.
Oh.
I did not win the lasagna.
Oh.
But
thank God.
Someone sent me a message on Instagram. She was so sweet. She's like, I will make you a lasagna for free.
Thank God. I saw her doing it on the video. She was like, yep, yep. And I'm like, dude. So anyway, but y'all did good.
It was an amazing event. But you know how you always say, like, you don't always have to give money. And instead of like being a person who like pickets and holds signs, like actually go and volunteer. And CASA is just really in need of people to volunteer to be advocates, because it is, there's a need for it. There are kids, they're in the system who don't have one. And they really need men too, like men to step up, because, what it is like
well, studies have shown that most criminal behavior is because there is not a male figure in the home.
Well, it's a cycle.
Yeah.
Right. It's trying to break the cycle. But what the advocate does, if anyone is interested in volunteering, what the advocate does is they go through training, but they are in those court sessions, sharing with the judges on the case as the child's advocate what they think is in the child's best interest. They're not the social worker representing the system, and they're not the lawyer representing the parent. They are simply there on behalf of the child to be that child's voice in the court system when they present to the judge. So the benefit, there were lots of judges there. There were sheriffs. There were lots of political appointees who were there to say, like, we really think this is a noteworthy program and we want to continue to support it. And next year's their 40th anniversary.
How much did you raise? Do you know?
We don't have the numbers just yet, but they told me they thought it was their biggest year yet. And they were so sweet. They were just like, you know, we really thought you brought an energy to it that helped really contribute to the funds we raised. So I was super touched and excited.
Well, I'm very, very proud of you.
Thank you.
And that is an amazing thing to do. And I wish that people saw you there, because I saw your little outfit.
It was cruise ship theme, so I did it up. I went with the theme. I dressed up like a cruise director, and I'd make my announcements and be like, attention passengers, you know, and that kind of thing. I had fun with it. It was
that
cute.
Is awesome.
It was cute.
I think you did great. I love, that would have been a good one for Flip. our friend.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, they do a different theme every year, so who knows what the theme will be next year. But
Flip Schultz, by the way, one of the funniest people out there. Look him up. All right. Well, great podcast. Proud of you.
You're proud of me?
Yeah. I'm glad that you're getting involved, and I think it's great that you're using your Captain Evil celebrity to go out and do the some do-gooder stuff.
I just want to be like a fairy godmother and sprinkle, you know, sprinkle goodness here and there around our community.
I just, you know, I just, you know, hugs go a long way. You know, you think about these kids and the things they go through, and just to have somebody there to care for, to just that they can count on.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what it is too, is that accountability. You know, yeah. I, you know, I have such wonderful parents, and so do you. And, you know, my dad spent a lot of time teaching me how to be a man and teaching me, because, you know, people don't realize that these kids know nothing.
Yeah.
So if they're getting their education or they're learning from songs or movies or TV shows, there's nobody to tell them this is right, this is wrong, this is how you approach a situation.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to Garrett about all the time, you know, and most people, you know, when it comes to morality, say that they, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And then when that comes to it, where they actually have to make a real choice.
In real life, IRL. In real life,
they can't do it because they don't want to rock the boat, or they don't want to cause problems. Right. And it's like, hey, man, sometimes doing the right thing is the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you have to choose to do the right thing, even though you know it is the more difficult path. So we love you guys. We'll see you next time. And that lady, whoever you are, that started the walk-up music, you're a bad person. See you guys later.